Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News, and it's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. Now, Laura Turbide has the day off, and that means Kimberly Ilacqua is here. I almost use your old name. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted. Nice to see you.
It's, you know, keeping track of these things can be tough. We appreciate you being here. So it's kind of the slow time of the year. We don't have any real news or updates or anything. I know last time Laura was here, we talked about all the holiday trees and everything and people putting up the ornaments, and that was very neat.
The one thing I would say is with the new year, a lot of people make resolutions to lose weight, to be healthy. So we're encouraging people, if you don't have a primary care physician, to check out our website. All of our primary care physicians are accepting new patients so that you can get your annual screenings ordered just to start the new year out being healthy.
Well, and we've talked a lot, both in some of our Finger Lakes Health segments and in other segments I've done, about how much people are aware of how important primary care is, that it if you have good primary care, you don't need as much specialty or emergency care, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right, so let's introduce, it's fun to meet our old friends, but it's also fun to have new people on, and we have a new person today.
Yes, today we have Dr. Matthew Talbot. He is our Director for Emergency Medicine, and he provides the leadership at both Geneva General Hospital Emergency Department, as well as Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Emergency Department.
All right, Dr. Talbot, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks.
All right. We'll do our first, our new person drill, which is just tell us a little bit about you and where you're from and your decision to get into healthcare and how you wound up with Finger Lakes Health.
Sure. So we're going back quite a ways. I'm from a small town in Ohio, similar to Geneva, very diverse and had a lot of different experiences early in life. And one of those was a perforated appendix when I was 13. And I'll never forget the surgeon walking into the room, and really, that was the impetus for me going into healthcare. I also had a buddy growing up. His father was a family physician through the Air Force, was a great role model for me. And so I kind of made the decision early and chose a path that was pretty straightforward. Went to undergraduate at Ohio University and then medical school at Ohio State. Did my residency at University of Rochester and knew I wanted to practice in a community like Geneva. And really have felt, you know, fallen in love with the medicine here and in Penyan. And so this is my ninth year with the organization, and about 6 months ago took over the directorship.
So did you kind of have emergency medicine in mind right from the start?
Or? I had no idea. Yeah. No, I really absorbed a lot during clinical rotations at Ohio State. It was, you know, a large academic organization, and was able to get a lot of good experience, and towards the end of those rotations, realized that emergency medicine was really my niche. Allowed me to do a lot of different type of medicine, and felt like for me in particular, it was what I was meant to do.
So now, do you still do direct practice in addition to the administrative role,
or absolutely?
Strictly, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So still do, you know, approximately 20 hours a week of clinical practice.
So give us kind of an overview of what the emergency services are all about within Finger Lakes Health.
Emergency medicine in general is for the community. It's for the patient. You know, it's for anyone who feels like they may have an emergency. And, you know, whether that ends up being a true medical emergency or not, you know, we want to see you, and we want to determine that. And so we really, we want to see all of our community members, you know, in their time of need, and we would never want anyone to feel, that they should not show up in the emergency department for a complaint that they may feel, is not trivial.
Hey, we've talked about the rise of urgent care within Finger Lakes Health. Are people kind of getting the idea now of which is which, and does that make it easier on the emergency side when more of these non-emergency things can go to urgent care?
Surprisingly, when the urgent cares began to expand in the community, not just through Finger Lakes Health, but of course there's other healthcare organizations that have kind of come in as well, we've seen a volume uptick. And now that's leveled off a little bit over the last few years, but during the advent of the expansion of urgent care, surprisingly, we did not see a decrease in volume.
That's interesting, because I remember talking to somebody else who said that same thing. Mm-hmm. Is it just more people taking more advantage of the fact that there are different venues there and maybe seeking care for some urgent things that in the past they just tried to, you know, put a Band-Aid on it and walk it off?
I think so. I think it models really national trends in emergency medicine with volume increases. you know, as far as I know, the population in the community hasn't expanded exponentially. And so I think that, that, you know, people are utilizing urgent care definitely more so, and we're definitely busy in those settings. But you know, we have obviously an open door 24-hour policy that we're going to see whoever walks through that door.
Right, and that's there's definitely a place for urgent care, mm-hmm. but you don't want people to not seek emergency services when they should. So, what are some definite signs? Hey, no messing around. This means emergency. Go straight to the emergency room.
Sure, and that kind of leads us into you know, a couple of our Joint Commission disease specific certifications. And you know, the Joint Commission is an accrediting body that really the purpose is that as an organization we're establishing best practices and really holding ourselves accountable for. You know, evidence-based medicine, where we're able to provide community members with the best care. And so we have disease-specific certifications in both a chest pain and stroke center. And those would be highlights that I would point out, that if you're having chest pain, you know, these complaints are time-specific. And a lot of the treatments that we can provide, you know, depend on the time that we see you. So if you're having chest pain, if you're having speech difficulty, if you're having numbness or weakness in an extremity or drooping on the side of a face, you know, these are the things that we want to see you for absolutely immediately. And of course, these aren't all inclusive.
Yeah. And I know in the case of stroke, they use the acronym FAST
yes.
to talk about, you know, how important it is that minutes literally do make the difference in stroke care.
And I think that I would highlight the T in FAST, which is time. You know, call 911, or if you're walking down the street, then get to the emergency department immediately. Because the treatments that we are able to provide in the emergency department that at this point in time are well supported in the literature, we can provide here locally the quickest and safest and most effective for our patients.
What's involved in getting this certification in chest pain and stroke care? Is it just in terms of making sure everybody's education is up to snuff and facilities and everything too, obviously?
So it's you know, a multitude of things, and we have so many people through our PI department that work with us and really guide us in navigating what exactly is required. As you can imagine, it's fairly rigorous, but it does include specific educational requirements for the physicians, for the nursing, constant education, constant improvement. We're, you know, on the back end, reviewing our outcomes and making sure that if we do fall out with a specific indicator, that we're immediately addressing why we fell out. And so it's really, you know, holding ourselves accountable.
What's that process? Do you have team meetings where you get together everybody that was involved in a particular incident and say, okay, let's review what we did? There was a little bobble here. What happened here? How can we get better over here?
We do, and we have both stroke and chest pain, you know, team meetings essentially monthly, sometimes more, where it's our core group of stroke participants, including myself, who review really all strokes and all chest pains that are inclusive in our disease-specific certification. And so when we do have an outlier, we identify why. And sometimes the reason is that, you know, there was a specific concern or that particular patient did not meet all of the inclusion requirements for a specific treatment. But we identify and then we improve.
Now, I know one of the most important things in emergency medicine is a quick and correct diagnosis. What information from the patient or the person bringing them in, what helps you do your job, and what kind of stuff doesn't help you do your job and maybe gets in the way?
So in the emergency department in particular, we are a very complaint-driven specialty. And so we formulate very quick you know, diagnostic plans based on a patient's complaint. And what helps us in that process is an accurate list of medications, accurate portrayal of somebody's medical history. Sometimes what doesn't help so much in that setting would be books of medical history. It's just in the emergency department setting, that's very difficult to navigate through when we're trying to make very quick decisions.
Right. Now, one of the things that's most key and how a lot of people measure you is how quick you are. And I know that's one of the things that you track and that you've done very well with is that response time.
Sure. And that's definitely, a national indicator, a national metric that's tracked by emergency departments across the country. And recently, CMS and the Hospital Compare identified Soldiers and Sailors Hospital and Geneva General Hospital as the number one and two sites in this region for arrival time to physician. And that means essentially that when you show up at the window, what is that median time that you're going to see a physician? At Soldiers and Sailors Hospital, it's 9 minutes. At Geneva, it's 14 minutes, whereas the national and state averages are much less, good.
About how many patients do you see in a year in Finger Lakes Health Emergency Services?
Between both sites, we see almost 35,000. Geneva General Hospital, when I started here in 2008, we were seeing right around 18,000. At the last 3 years running, we're seeing well into the mid-24,000s. Soldiers and Sailors is a critical access hospital. It's obviously less, and so down there we're seeing around 9,000, 9,500 a year.
I know one of the things we've talked about a lot in our Finger Lakes Health conversations over the last couple of years is the move to get people home more quickly. Are you able to do that in emergency medicine, or do you generally admit patients after you see them?
The majority, the vast majority of the patients that are seen in the emergency department will be seen, treated, and discharged home.
Really?
Yes, and that's true across the country. Even at large tertiary care centers, the admission rates really never exceed 20 to 21, 22%. Geneva General Hospital has a higher admission percentage than Soldiers and Sailors Hospital. But that being said, so I think the point there is that we can develop a diagnostic plan, treat appropriately, and discharge home safely for the vast majority of our patients.
Our guest has been Dr. Matthew Talbot, Director of Emergency Medicine with Finger Lakes Health. We appreciate the visit, and I'm sure we'll have more in the future.
Great. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks for being with us. Kimberly, thank you as always. Good to see you when you come in.
Thanks, Ted. It's nice to see you, too.
Say hello to Laura. She'll be back soon, I know. We'll get healthy again in 2 weeks with Finger Lakes Health. It's 8:51, Finger Lakes Morning News.
Virtual reality is hot.